Blog Talk Radio.
He is the last of his kind. All that remains of a once powerful nation. Some think he is a myth. Some believe he is the chosen one, who will bring balance to a world at war. And some will stop at nothing to destroy him.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The last nail is being driven into the coffin of the American Republic, yet Congress remains in total denial as our liberties are rapidly fading before our eyes. The process is propelled by unwarranted fear and ignorance as to the true meaning of liberty. It is driven by economic myths, fallacies, and irrational good intentions. The rule of law is constantly rejected, and authoritarian answers are offered as panaceas for all our problems. Runaway welfareism is used to benefit the rich at the expense of the middle class. Who would have ever thought that the current generation and Congress would stand idly by and watch such a rapid disintegration of the American Republic? Characteristic of this epic event is the casual acceptance by the people and the political leaders of the unitary presidency, which is equivalent to granting dictatorial powers to the president. Our presidents can now, on their own, order assassinations, including American citizens, operate secret military tribunals, engage in torture, enforce indefinite imprisonments without due process, order searches and seizures without proper warrants, gutting the Fourth Amendment, ignore the 60-day rule for reporting to the Congress the nature of any military operation as required by the War Power Resolution, continue the Patriot Act abuses without oversight, wage war at will, treat all Americans as suspected terrorists at airports with TSA groping and nude x-raying. And the Federal Reserve accommodates by counterfeiting the funds needed and not paid for by taxation and borrowing, permitting runaway spending, endless debt, and special interest bailouts. And all of this is not enough. The abuses and usurpations of the war power are soon to be codified in the National Defense Authorization Act, now rapidly moving its way through Congress. Instead of repealing the 2001 authorization for the use of military force, as we should, now that bin Laden is dead and gone, Congress is planning to massively increase the war power of the president. Though an opportunity presents itself to end the wars in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Pakistan, Congress, with bipartisan support, obsesses on how to expand the unconstitutional war power of the president he already holds. The current proposal would allow a president to pursue war anytime, any place, for any reason, without congressional approval. Many believe this would even permit military activity against American suspects here at home. The proposed authority does not reference the 9/11 attacks. It would be expanded to include the Taliban and associated forces, a dangerously vague and expansive definition of our potential enemies. There is no denial that the changes in Section 1034 totally eliminates the hard-fought-for restraint on presidential authority to go to war without congressional approval achieved at the Constitutional Convention. Congress's war authority has been severely undermined since World War II, beginning with the advent of the Korean War, which was fought solely under a UN resolution. Even today, we're waging war in Libya without even consulting with the Congress, similar to how we went to war in Bosnia in the 1990s under President Clinton. The three major reasons for our constitutional conventions were to guarantee free trade and travel among the states, make gold and silver legal tender, and abolish paper money, and strictly limit the executive branch's authority to pursue war without congressional approval. But today, Federal Reserve notes are legal tender, gold and silver are illegal. The Interstate Commerce Clause is used to regulate all commerce at the expense of the free trade among the states. And now, the final nail is placed in the coffin of congressional responsibility for the war power, delivering this power completely to the president, a sharp and huge blow to the concept of our republic. In my view, it appears that the fate of the American republic is now sealed, unless these recent trends are quickly reversed. The saddest part of this tragedy is that all these horrible changes are being done in the name of patriotism and protecting freedom. They are justified by good intentions while believing the sacrifice of liberty is required for our safety. Nothing could be further from the truth. More sadly is the conviction that our enemies are driven to attack us for our freedoms and prosperity and not because of our deeply flawed foreign policy that has generated justifiable grievances and has inspired the radical violence against us. Without this understanding, our endless, unnamed, and undeclared wars will continue and our wonderful experiment with liberty will end. And I yield back the balance of my.
Welcome, Morris, to Morris Talk Live 100. I'm your host, Tahaka Amana El-Bay. And this evening, we're going to be touching on some things. We're excited to open up with this information that you just heard. And I ask you to listen to this over and over and over until you clearly understand what you just heard. Morris Future, what has happened and what is to come. This is what we're going to try to deal with this evening. I'm going to do my best to deliver the maximum amount of what we have. There's a ton of information, and I'm going to try to fire it as fast as I can. So if you have questions, go ahead and raise your hand. I'll recognize them, and in between plugs, I will open it up so you can ask your questions, your comments, and we can get it addressed. First of all, we are offering our same free articles, the 14th Amendment Exposed, as well as the Commerce Game. And the way you access that is hit me at taraka99@yahoo.com, taraka99@yahoo.com. And don't forget, everything that you hear here tonight will eventually be added to Tahaka's library, the most comprehensive library in the history of the United States, bar none. There is no doubt about it. We will be adding this information in its entirety, and keep in mind that most of the stuff that you hear here is in all audio format, but you will be able to see the maximum amount in a video format. Contact me in regards to your library at area code 904-303-9061, and I will get that to you. Those of you who are on your social sites, I need you to listen very, very carefully tonight because we're going to address that. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to address it right now. And after this is over, then we'll get back with you to continue the broadcast, okay?
Congress today reauthorized funding for Facebook, the massive online surveillance program run by the CIA. According to Department of Homeland Security reports, Facebook has replaced almost every other CIA information gathering program since it was launched in 2004.
After years of secretly monitoring the public, we were astounded so many people would willingly publicize where they live, their religious and political views, an alphabetized list of all their friends, personal email addresses, phone numbers, hundreds of photos of themselves, and even status updates about what they were doing moment to moment. It is truly a dream come true for the CIA.
Much of the credit belongs to CIA agent Mark Zuckerberg, who runs the day-to-day Facebook operation for the agency. The decorated agent, codenamed the Overlord, was recently awarded the prestigious Medal of Intelligence Commendation for his work with the Facebook program, which he has called, quote, the single most powerful tool for population control ever created. Among the biggest successes of the Facebook program is Operation Farmville, which the CIA credits with pacifying as many as 85 million people after unemployment rates rose dramatically. Other features, such as the suggested friends window, have been instrumental in allowing government agents to infiltrate deeper into the friend networks of suspected dissidents. For some expert analysis now on the story, let's check in with the Fact Zone's first responders. Jason, you have written extensively about the Facebook program. Why is it so effective?
Well, one of the key reasons is that the CIA has been so thorough in convincing the nation that constantly sharing information about everything that you're doing is somehow desirable instead of deeply unsettling.
Yeah. You know, the critics are saying that with the national debt being so high, is this really the time to be spending even more money on spy programs?
Well, actually, the Facebook program saves the CIA money.
That's right.
Like the Maps application where you list every place that you've been, whether it's the state or a country.
Oh, right, with the little pins. To show where you visited. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yes.
I like that.
That kind of information would have taken the CIA months of going through hotel receipts and plane tickets to figure it all out. The manpower that Facebook saves is huge.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And the calendar feature even lets the CIA know where you're going to be in advance. So that's
right. So now if they want to pick you up for questioning, all they have to do is see which events you RSVP'd yes to and then send their agents to be waiting for you.
That's how they got my brother.
Yeah,
right.
So effective. Mm-hmm. But guys, with all the focus on the Facebook program, is it taking away from some of the other CIA programs like the Twitter initiative?
The funding for that should be cut entirely.
Right, 400 billion tweets and not one useful bit of data was ever transmitted.
Oh, that's true. Now, is this trend of social network information gathering dangerous? I mean, just last week, the New York Times revealed that Al-Qaeda has designed Foursquare to identify popular locations for bombing.
Actually, Brooke, that's been discredited as any kind of real threat. The people that use that site are people that no one would mind seeing bombed anyway.
Yeah, the only thing the CIA has to be concerned about is people losing interest in Facebook and moving on to a new social network site, like the Chinese site Wannabe.
I love
Wannabe. Are you guys on Wannabe?
Oh my God, it's so much more fun than Facebook.
It is great.
I love that one.
I love that you can earn friend points the more state secrets that you post.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got a lot of contacts in the State Department. You know, I think I could really rack them up.
Post them up.
I could.
All right, first responders, thank you so much as always. You know, I'm, of course, a big fan of any social networking site. It allows me to interact with my fans without having to see, hear, or smell them.
Okay, y'all. We put that bit of information out there for you. And we're going to go ahead and come closer to home and something that you really need to pay attention to now. The electric company is coming to your home and they are changing out your meter on your house. And I'm an old proponent of the fact that if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But let's see what the others have to say. So pay very, very close attention to what's going on, okay?
We are now entering the brave new world of smart meters. That means your electric meter will do so much more than just show how much electricity you use. The new smart meters are watching you. They sense all kinds of goings-on. They see when you turn something on or off. They see how many watts your electric toothbrush pulls. They send the record of that little event over wireless networks, bouncing through your neighbor's smart meters, all the way to the power company, where they keep record of all your electric consumption volumes and patterns every minute of every day and store that data forever on computers that you'll never get to see. That data shows when you are at home, shows when you're sleeping, shows when you're on vacation, when you have visitors, when you use a lamp, a power tool, some extra computers, and if you look like you're running a business out of your home. It even senses when you bootleg energy off the grid. Your smart meter data shows a vivid profile of your personal living patterns and whether or not you were at home on the night of the murder. This is not electrical metering. This is personal surveillance. This is a search without a warrant every day. This is your personal private life going straight out through your electric meter to the power company, to the government, to the police, to the insurance company, to anyone who cuts a deal with your power company to look at your life under a microscope. Sorry, it's actually worse than that. People who don't cut a deal can get your information too by simply intercepting the wireless signal spewing from the side of your house. Yes, smart meters are radio transmitters. Here's how you tell. This one is a 1-watt radio station licensed by the FCC. On this all-news radio station, every detail of your electrical life is shooting off to some institutional data center somewhere. Already, the police in Ohio, Texas, British Columbia, and places I don't know about are regularly using smart meter data to pinpoint marijuana grow houses, enforce business licenses, and punish people for doing things in the privacy of their own homes that you were not supposed to do, but they wouldn't even know you were doing if they weren't spying on you. Your power company apparently gets to sell your personal life story to whomever it wants. Any unusual power consumption pattern is considered probable cause to raid you for growing marijuana or running a computer server without a business license. This is about as Big Brother as it gets. Those friendly men with their truckload of smart meters are going door to door with something a little different than a Christmas carol. My personal opinion is that you and I need to demand that these things be taken off our homes. It is not possible for your power company to claim they have the right to install a surveillance device on your house. Smart meters are no different from wiretapping devices. And in case you didn't know, wiretapping is illegal in all 50 of the states and the federal territories. If you let your power company put a smart meter on your house, you may as well walk around all day with a Facebook helmet webcam pointed at yourself. They have convinced themselves installing smart meters is lawful by some reaching to the moon jive called implied consent. If you say they can change your meter, they pretend you consent even when you don't know really what they're doing. Here's a tip. Tell them they can't change your meter. They had no trouble billing you with the old meter. If you send them a notice by certified mail that they may not install a smart meter or any other surveillance device on your house, their implied consent goes out the window. I would do that if I were you. In fact, I did that, and I'm not even you. You can see a copy of my letter in the drop-down next to this video. You can copy and paste that into your word processor. Make sure and change the info into your own info. The post office will give you the certified mail slip. Those friendly guys on the sidewalk told me that they plan to put a smart meter on every house in America. If they do that, it will no longer be America.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, keep in mind that we're going to actually put up the video and so that you can get a hold of it. This is just phase one. We're going into phase two. We have more information to deliver to you in regards to the smart meter. We need to get on this right away. If you have a smart meter on your house, you need to contact the electric company, tell them to send someone out, remove it, and remember previous broadcasts. If they refuse to do so, go ahead on and accept their offer, enter a counter offer, and remind them of how much damages you are seeking until they do it. And then after send that to them, and may always remember to send that letter to the head of the department, and then we'll eventually get down to placing the lien, and we will sue them if they don't do what they're supposed to do, because what they'll do is literally breaking the law. Now, in order to get a hold of this library where this information will be posted, you simply contact me at Tahaka Amana L. Bay at area code 904-303-9061. Okay?
We are seeing one of the strangest global events of our lifetimes. Power companies in the USA, Canada, Europe, Japan, and who knows where else, who have no business other than to safely deliver utility services to us, have been enlisted by some global agenda to install radiation-emitting surveillance devices on our homes that they are calling smart meters. The reason that this is so strange is that even after we have told them that these devices are dangerous, harmful, unlawful, and invasive, they flatly ignore us and continue to attempt the installations as if we were speaking to a hole in the ground. We know now that our power companies were perfectly aware of the problems with these meters from the beginning, and they even developed and planned strategies to withhold information about the meters, to install the devices without our knowledge or consent, to lie to us about what the digital meters are and what they do, and refuse to provide verifiable answers to questions about those meters. They could not have sent a more clear signal that the meters are not in our interest. our power companies, have allowed themselves to become partisans and to become enemies of their customers' health, safety, and privacy in some strange and new program to collect data and possibly harm everyone who has a utility meter. The new digital meters are designed to do things utility meters don't need to do, and power companies refuse to explain why they are so determined to push this on us. Most of us have become very dependent on our utilities, and our dependency is now being exploited by a global matrix called the smart grid, designed for massive collection and centralization of personal data. Because this smart grid program operates largely in secret, there are many theories emerging and being explored. This is not limited to just your power company or even your country. It's clearly coordinated internationally. United Nations Agenda 21 has become suspected as a key driver because that agenda calls for global controls of population, behaviors, and collection of data at the local level, just as the digital meters are designed to do. Those United Nations programs have been directly funded by proponents of global governance and depopulation, such as Ted Turner, Bill Gates, George Soros, and other members of secret societies advocating depopulation, such as the Club of Rome. Again, this is currently largely rumor and speculation, and we certainly need more facts to fully understand the bizarre experiment of invading private homes all over the world with high-tech monitoring devices posing as utility meters. Depopulation agenda or not, digital utility meters offer no benefit whatsoever to customers and pose a number of very serious hazards. It's hard to imagine the forces and pressures that could have enlisted your power companies in the smart meter program, because broad-scale deployment of those meters exposes the power companies to huge negative legal and political consequences. Because of the secret character of the smart meter rollout, utility customers have been caught very much off guard and have made some mistakes on how we respond to this assault. We have protested and demonstrated. We have pleaded and argued with the utility company to remove the meters. We have asked the utility company to provide solutions, assuming they would want to. We have failed to recognize that the problem is much larger than mismanagement of a utility company. We have a determined public enemy at a level above our utility companies. The power company is a low or mid-level player, and they are playing on the wrong side. This forces us into a different relationship with our utility companies. You don't negotiate with criminals. You don't let them commit a little bit of crime along with an essential public service. Crime is crime. The only thing that crime calls for is enforcement, and unfortunately, as is so common these days, none of our public agencies seem to be willing or able to enforce safe utility metering for us, and we have no choice but to enforce for ourselves. Enforcement is very different from petitioning an institution for better service or responsible conduct. We must let go of our consumer mentality and adopt the mentality of an enforcer. Enforcement means force. It means command. It means using leverage, strategy, and power in a targeted way against a determined opponent. If you want your home in the future to be free of excess electromagnetic radiation and monitoring devices, there are some strategic and targeted strategies that I can suggest. First, never compromise with a violator. Never negotiate your rights, safety, and health away. Giving up those things damages you. What that means in the struggle against digital utility metering is never agree to any harmful or unclear proposal that has been devised by your utility company. Do not regard the company as your friend. They may offer to violate you a little less and call it an opt-out. They actually have the gall to demand payments for not violating you. There is no word for that but extortion. It would be unbelievable if it wasn't actually happening. In California, in February of 2012, Pacific Gas and Electric and the California Public Utilities Commission decided, without any consensus from or even disclosure to most utility customers, that all Californians should pay a large fee up front and monthly fees forever for the privilege of not having a more expensive electric meter that emits cancer-causing radiation and conducts surveillance on private activities inside the home. Never before have these utilities and regulators lost their reason and common sense to the point where they have attempted to charge people for not having something. The logic is amazing. I guess this is what they're thinking. They expect to make huge new revenues by charging you for what they call time-of-day usage. Because their meters will be spying on your daily and hourly energy consumption behavior, they can attach fees and penalties to behavior they deem to be undesirable. If you refuse to accept the smart meter that enables them to raise all these fees, they want a way to get the revenues anyway, by simply charging you fees for not having the meter. And amazingly, regulators failed to see the plain criminal idiocy of such a scheme. This represents a major new paradigm in the exploitation of utility customers. It's astonishing that utility companies and regulators even imagined they could get away with such an assault on the basic rights of utility customers, and to presume that no one would resist, object, or hold them accountable for violating the public interest in such a blatant and contrived way. Public officials and utility administrators can be imprisoned for this if we and our justice system step up to the task. So that's the first strategy. Never accept any shady, half-criminal opt-out offer from your power company. The next strategy is even more powerful. Basically, it is collecting evidence. Evidence is what wins in a legal conflict. Many people are experiencing sudden and unusual health problems going on for weeks or months, only to realize they started on the day the smart meter was installed. If a digital meter is ever installed on your home or workplace, keep a diary of all the changes in the occupant's health from the day that meter is installed. Write down the time, the day, the name of the victim, and the description of the symptoms or problems. Just from doing a few videos on smart meters, I've received many dozens of calls from people with horror stories about their digital meters. The story usually goes something like this: my kids and I were getting sick. The doctors couldn't figure out what was causing it. Then we realized it all started at the same time they installed our smart meter. Headaches, nausea, insomnia, lack of concentration, heart palpitations, mood swings, depression, confusion, poor performance at work or school, sick days, lost jobs, family dysfunctions and conflicts, disintegrating relationships. These are all things that should be written down and described with time and date. You'll find that you'll have a powerful legal device there. You can bring that as a sworn statement before your utility company or a court, and they will have no way to dispute or rebut that with firsthand knowledge. You have just created compelling and prevailing evidence in any legal contest. It's more important than you may know. Without that diary, you have little or no recourse against the costs to your health and your family that a digital utility meter may cause. Simply having that record gives you the legal power and advantage to leverage the future your way and to defeat the violator, the power company who thinks it doesn't have to listen and respond to your demand for safety, health, and privacy. The public is awakening to this issue. Our opinions and our voices are changing the political equation in the digital meter invasion. But this is no small program, and we will have to be heard. All of us will have to be heard if we wish to protect our health, safety, and privacy. That's the strategy for now. Refuse the installations, refuse the opt-outs, and keep records of any problems the digital meters are causing you. Those are the best protections we can have right now that I could think of. In an odd way, this digital meter problem is a helpful signal. It is clear now that we need to take action to get electromagnetic radiation and institutional surveillance out of our lives.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that's the end of that particular plug, and I think that is very, very informative. What you have to also understand is this. We're going to say, for instance, that the electric company attempt to put a meter on your house, and you go out there and you catch them and you stop them. But you have to realize that they are coming to people's homes when they are not at home and when they know they're not at home, and they are installing this thing and they're walking away. Also that you have to understand is that if you stop them and a neighbor across the street or a neighbor next door allow them to put this thing on their home, the radiation from this thing still affects you. And so you have to understand this information, and that's all I wanted to let you know in regards to that, okay? And so what we want to do is pay very, very close attention to what's going on in your community in regards to the electric company and what they're attempting to do by installing this thing, and we want to try to stop them. And pay close attention and let our neighbors know as well. Now, we're going to go on to the next thing that we're dealing with, and this is very, very important. This is very important. We just need you to pay attention to this next plug. Okay?
The fewer guns we have in the world, the better it is for mankind.
They are as determined as ever.
Mr. Chairman, small arms and light weapons are truly weapons of mass destruction.
The United Nations conspiring with the majority of its members to do what they've already done to their own citizens. Deny you your firearm freedom.
In New York, right here in our own shores, we've got a Trojan horse. They want to set U.S. firearms policy. They want to take the decision away from the U.S. electorate and undermine our Constitution.
That's really their ultimate agenda, to bring the United States down from the pinnacle of freedom to simply being another one of these socialist states where the government controls everything.
And just who are these gun grabbers? Countries like Japan.
We strictly punish and control the possession and the use of small arms by civilians.
Britain and Australia.
Firearm owners in Australia must also demonstrate a genuine reason for ownership.
The Netherlands.
My firm conviction that illicit trade cannot be tackled without involving the legal arms trade.
And Canada, led by its former Minister of Justice, Alan Rock.
Registration is the cornerstone of the entire strategy.
Alan Rock is now Canada's voice at the United Nations. His anti-gun agenda is now front and center at the world stage. That's scary.
Scary because the United Nations continues to get away with what it does best.
It's a stealth operation.
Secretly scheming behind closed doors to outlaw your gun.
We must not wait until 2006.
Accountable to no one.
He wouldn't get elected to the UN. And that's the really scary thing. How the hell do you get rid of a UN bureaucrat?
These are the biggest human rights violators in the world, and they're trying to tell people in the United States that we shouldn't have certain civil liberties.
But the UN is not pushing its agenda alone. There's a propaganda machine working every day, targeting the NRA and gun ownership as evil. It's called IANSA, the International Action Network on Small Arms.
This is not about military small arms. This is not about rocket launchers.
What they're really after is my Winchester hunting rifle.
Just log on to IANSA's website, and you'll see it's made up of more than 500 anti-gun NGOs, or non-governmental organizations.
They are absolutely awesome in terms of the power they have.
Power and a plot that is being engineered right here in London, in that building behind me where IANSA is headquartered. Imagine, nearly 230 years after the American Revolution, there are still forces at work here on British soil, determined to trample on your freedom.
These people believe that ultimately they know how to live your life a heck of a lot better than you do.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Peters.
But the plot gets even thicker. The woman who heads up IANSA, Rebecca Peters, led the gun ban movement in Australia.
It's time for tough, tough gun laws.
Gun owners forced to surrender their firearms to the saw blade, scrap heap, and blast furnace.
Now Rebecca Peters is determined to do the same to American gun owners. We phoned Ms. Peters here at her office and also emailed her requesting an interview, but she never called us back.
Rebecca Peters is like a live hand grenade with a pin almost out.
She is an extremely dangerous person.
Dangerous, not only because of what she's done, but because of who she knows.
She is good at getting funding, and funding is the key.
Working for gun hater and billionaire George Soros' Open Society Institute, Rebecca has secured a seemingly endless supply of money for the UN's global gun control agenda.
The pro-gun forces are outnumbered, outspent, 20-30-1. It's huge.
We have thus far contributed $1.87 million.
The amount of funding that they're receiving from governments around the world is absolutely staggering.
Britain, one of the biggest. After doing some probing, we found out it gave a $2 million grant in 2001 to IANSA through Britain's Global Conflict Prevention Pool's Small Arms Strategy. With titles like that, you can see why the money trail is impossible to trace.
I don't know if 10 bloodhounds searching this stuff out with 100 accountants can find it.
In fact, you probably didn't know UNICEF is a partner in all of this.
Think of the little kid who showed up at your door on Halloween with a UNICEF box. Would you say no? But it's also an instrument to take away your firearms.
So the U.S. taxpayers get to pay for a lot of this trash that comes out of the U.N. to ban what really is a human right.
But U.N. supporters like Amnesty International don't see it that way.
The U.S. citizens do not have a blanket right to use these weapons as they feel fit.
They think gun owners are primitives who have to be brought into the modern world.
And attorney Mark Benenson should know. He was the former chairman for the American branch of Amnesty International. His cousin founded the organization in England in 1961.
I recall how horrified they were when they found out that I was a life member of the National Rifle Association. The Brits were paralyzed with dismay, and they didn't know what to do about it.
But Mark insists that what they're doing now is not the answer to a safer world.
Not at all. I think it will be a safer world for tyrannical governments, and a safer world for the criminals who don't give up their firearms. It certainly will not be a safer world for ordinary people.
England and Australia have already proven that. Their gun bans have backfired, crime skyrocketed, and innocent victims left defenseless.
Sure, the government's banned private ownership. It hasn't stopped the criminals, no way. Not in any shape or form.
There's a crock, it's made no difference whatsoever. I mean, the people in the street, they're going to get their guns anyway. No problem.
Facts that don't matter, because many countries are already enforcing the UN's agenda.
Canada is leading the charge on this beyond any doubt whatsoever. They even have committees in Ottawa specifically set up to implement the United Nations gun control programs.
Our government won't tell us what they're planning. What they've said carte blanche is that these UN regulations have got to be included in our national legislation. I think it's a very dangerous situation.
A program of action is a beginning, not an end in itself. Implementation will be the true test.
The ultimate goal? An international treaty that would be binding.
Unlike a law, unlike a statute which can be made today and changed tomorrow, an international treaty is forever.
If it wasn't for the NRA's presence at the United Nations, everything would have been lost years ago.
Make no mistake, this treaty will snuff out the Second Amendment if the anti-gun forces succeed in electing an anti-gun president and an anti-gun senate.
The United Nations is as much a threat to our right to keep and bear arms in this country as is Handgun Control Inc. or George Soros. Their agenda is very dangerous, it is very clear, and it is very sinister.
But on that day, when a treaty is ratified, your gun rights, guaranteed by the Constitution, will be gone.
This is not an issue only for gun owners. It's an issue for everybody who believes in our Constitution and democratic governance.
You need to go to your congressmen and to your senators and tell them that in no uncertain terms, the United States government should not back the United Nations programs.
They're treading on dangerous ground, and you cannot let your guard down ever.
Let there be no doubt. Dictators around the world hate the United States because the United States is free. They're scared of your guns, and they're going to come and get them.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, let me go on to the next thing here that I want to say. We have the Moorish American National Government inside the United States. We can drop the name national and say the Moorish American Government. We have national conference calls that happen 7 days a week. The number to the national conference call is 760-569-7100. The access code is 437-966-POUND. That's 760-569-7100. Access code 437-966-POUND. And you dial in that, and you can get your up-to-date information on what's going on inside the United States and the fact that the Moorish American government behind the prophecies of Noble Drew Ali is already laid out for you. And you can learn these things. You can ask questions, deliver your comments right there, live with Moors all over the United States. I'm there every Wednesday night. I wish I could be there more, but there's a ton of other things that I have to do in dealing with my people across the United States and other parts of the world as a divine minister of the Moorish American National Government. Now, we're going to continue into the broadcast of enlightenment, and keep in mind, we're still offering our free reports, so free articles. So all you have to do is contact me at tahaka99@yahoo.com, and I get that to you, tahaka99@yahoo.com, and I will get those articles to you ASAP. Also, we have created one of the most comprehensive libraries inside the United States, and I'm about to say around the world, according to the amount of information we're putting there for you. And for your education, and the way you access that is simply by contacting me at area code 904-303-9061. And please call me before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're going to be having quite a few broadcasts on throughout the next few months. We're going to try to touch on as many things as we can to help you in every conceivable way as people of African descent or Moorish descent inside the United States. Okay? Now we're going to the next most important thing. And my question is, first of all, let me go to my transcripts, and the questions on the transcripts is this, and we're going to try to cover this. What is Nibiru? What is a smart meter? We've already done that. Are alien abductions real? Does the U.S. government lie to its citizens? Is technology killing us? Have people of Moorish descent been victims of UFO abductions? What is it the government of the United States don't want you to know? Is there pressure from other governments around the world on the U.S. to reveal the truth about UFOs and space aliens? Are there true cases of alien abductions in the U.S.? Did the United States government make a secret agreement with space aliens to trade people for technology secrets? I'm going to try to cover all of this, and we're still within the first hour, so I need you to hang on in there. And we're going directly into the next segment, and it's entitled, Technology, Is It Killing Us?
Hi. Time on your show, and I'm very happy to be amongst the people that you've had on, and hope I can be one of the better ones if at all possible. You know, we're in a very interesting time now.
Mm-hmm.
People are seeing changes happening all over our planet, and modern technology and nanotechnology are really leading almost all of the things we do. People use microwave ovens.
Yes.
They use cell phones. They use, what do you want to call these things? Computers, monitors, scanners, printers, MP3 players, video game things, again, fluorescent lights and this kind of thing. What they're not understanding, this is modern technology using electricity, but they have now, those who made these things, have electricity even going lower than what normally we'd have. They have what they call extra low frequency, ELF waves. elf waves, and I have a tape called Elves Not Elves Are Killing You. They're worried about elves and grows and timbrelands. Mm-hmm. But these things emit a wave that is very detrimental to the cells of the body, to the brain, the tympanic membrane, the optic thalamus nerve. All of these things can be very deadly. So because we saw that as a challenge, I begin to research what can be done, since the people want these conveniences. They want television. They want plasma TVs. Yeah. They want the computer. They want the monitor. But they're actually doing harm to their cells, and long enough, the cells can even mutate. They become free radicals. Mm. And this is where cancer starts. So I said, well, now, if we're going to use this, what is the solution? So we came up with a solution called diodes. And at the Meta Center, and I'm the director of the Meta Center in Chicago, which tries to find solutions to problems, because we don't think problems should exist. So if you have a solution, there is no problem.
Thank you.
People had those problems. I say, let's give solutions. And that's what the whole show tonight is going to be on, solutions. Diodes are solutions. And we have 12 different kind of diodes. We have a diode that can go on the back of a cell phone. And I brought my cell phone with my diode right there. That little dot that you see there is doing a wonderful, wonderful thing to your, for your body. It's stopping the extra low frequencies and making the extra low frequency very high. The body can take high frequencies. The detrimental things are things that get inside your cell and begin to go slowly and just tear up the whole cell membrane, if you would. So we use diodes. You can use a diode on the back of a cell phone. You can use a diode on the back of your computer, your monitor, your scanner, your modem, on the back of that television set. Now everybody's got to have a direct plasma TV. That's even worse than the other ones as far as radiation. So you put that right on the back where the wire comes out of the back of the chassis. If you're using a microwave oven, and I always say to give that to your best enemy. Oh, should have said that now. All the restaurants are going out of business. No, they're not, because if they will buy a diode that goes on the back of that, it changes that frequency. The harm is gone. You can still get the pleasure from the unharm again. So we have diodes also, what we call a diode plaque. I meant to bring one, got off the airplane too quick and didn't bring it, so they're going to have to kind of listen to me or go on the website later. But the diode plaque is 8.5 by 11, looks like a kind of a chip on one side, again, a platform, and on the back is three layers of the diode material. The thing is, if you put that on your kitchen counter, on a chopping block or at the restaurant, anything you put within that, up to 18 inches above that surface, is going to pull radiation and poisons out of the thing. Now, I want your audience to hear that. It's going to pull out radiation and poisons and toxins out of the food before you eat it, out of the canned goods, out of the cigarettes that have the nicotine, mm-hmm. out of the coffee that has the caffeine, some of those other little things we don't talk about that nobody uses, but again, you put that on there too. It's going to pull the poisons out, and that's what I said. It will actually detoxify and take out radiation and poisons from it. We have a diode that can work that you put your cell phone in driving cars and big rigs, whether or not you're a big rig driver or a cab driver or a tow. When you get in that car, you turn on the ignition, kicks in the alternator, and the wheels turn. When the wheels turn on a moving vehicle of metal, there is no ground. So all of that now is kicking back into the chassis. Government law says 45 miles per hour, the airbags kicking if you have an accident. All of that then is welded to the frame of the car. And guess what's sitting on that frame of the car? Your sex organ, your buttocks, the whole bit. So I say that because now people will listen when you say sex organ. If you now can sit on a diode pad, it's not going to harm that. Women are having all kind of candidiasis problems, and then men are having all kind of testicular cancer. They're having all kind of prostate trouble. They don't tell them. One of the reasons is you're sitting on radiation. When you drive that car, you pass by some of these towers in all the big cities. They got 252 major cities and things like this. All of them have these towers up. Those towers are not up there for nothing. You say, well, they're up there so I can use my cell phone. Sometimes. They're up there again so you can also work with a satellite and get pictures and feeds from all over the planet. Well, that means all that radiation is coming into you. In your car, if you turn on the radio, AM or FM, mm-hmm. and you pass by a tower or another car, you hear it. Mm-hmm. You can hear the static. The static is you getting radiated. After 6 or 7 months, your whole car now is a what they call a Faraday case. The metal is all toxic. It's all thing. So sit on that dial pad. Sit on that dial pad on the airplane. Sit on the dial pad in the car. And now you're protecting yourself. And then we have also what is called a dial mattress. That's for people who really get in deep trouble. If they think that you're having cancer or you're having cells that are not responding as they should, becoming free radicals, mm-hmm. which means they're radical, they're attacking good cells in your body, if you can sleep. And this is a what they call it's a diode mattress. It's 6.5 feet long, 2.5 feet wide. If you put your body within that circumference, it will also pull radiation and poisons out of the lymph system, out of the fat cells, out of the liver, all of these things. Now think about that. You have cells that are going bad. What can I do with it? Get on a diode mattress.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you can change your diet. We'll talk about that another time, too. We get on a diode mattress. It will help you to pull that out.
Mm-hmm.
And if you use that in conjunction with a diet change, you can begin to do a lot to help your body to be rectified. So my whole point is, oh, there's one other thing. We have a diomid. A diomid stands about 2 feet high, and I didn't bring that either because that's a thing, but we can ship it. So it stands about 2.5 feet high. Right. It protects around the circumference of your home 60 yards, even into the ground,
mm-hmm.
even into the air. Now, what that attempts to do
mm-hmm.
is to nullify some of the bad radiation coming from some of these microwave towers that are emitting everything. They've got some now that cost $2 million. So you're asking something that's very inexpensive to do something with a giant that is pretty horrible again,
mm-hmm.
but it will begin to at least modify, especially the metal in your joist of your building or in a factory or anything, it begins to help you to modify that. So our whole problem is the towers, the radiation. The whole solution is, one of the solutions, using diodes instead of complaining, do something about it. Act. Walk and talk as well as just start discussing it. Pretty much those things will pretty much help as I see it.
Well, I have some dials I got from you and ordered. I have one for the TV, my computer. I don't have a cell, so I don't need one for the phone. And I ordered some the plaque for the food, which is really great. But I just want to touch on one thing about genetically modification.
Yeah.
So could you elaborate on that?
Most
for
definitely,
the
and I'm so grateful that you were able to put up the prop for me there so your audience can also see.
Thank
genetic
you.
Modification, or what they call genetically modified food, is food that has been transitioned by machines,
mm-hmm.
or if we're eating meats, a lot of people eat the pork, they eat the beef, they eat everything else, they actually take those animals and modify them.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, I'm not going to name any brand names, so we'll just simply say it this way. Right? Sometimes when you get a six-wing dinner,
mm-hmm.
You think you're getting three chickens. You might get one with six wings on it. That's genetic modification. It actually takes the cell DNA, alters it, and then you eat it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's one thing when you eat it purposely again. But then again, to get it to that point, they have laboratories that are actually modifying people and everything else. That's when you're getting these witches, these horrible creatures of them that don't even care what they do. And I have some examples over there. I'm going to start with that one over there on the extreme, I guess. That one.
Okay.
That one is an alligator man. You can see it was a human at one time. You can see it was an alligator or crocodile or something at another time. Now, somebody has modified that. They've put in a human DNA
mm-hmm.
and a cross species of an alligator, crocodile, or reptile, fuse them together. Now, that's what you call mad science. And we have the movies, The Island of Dr. Moreau. Well, these are things that are happening all around on our planet at certain areas where they're actually genetically modifying creatures and people, too. So what do you have? Radiation down in a time may modify cell phones, TV sets, computers, monitors. But now you have radiation laboratories. It's not going to take that time. It's going to show you what can happen in a little time, where they're now crossing species just because they're capable of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
This is what they call genetic modification. And I think it's horrible that these kind of practices go on, but people should understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Along the line, now that might take maybe 1,000, 2,000, a million years to do on its own,
mm-hmm.
but they can do this in laboratories overnight. They call it cloning. They can call it whatever you want. So I'm just saying radiation can be very dangerous. Some radiation can be very helpful, like those that come from the sun and all like this. But it depends on how much you're getting and how much is genetically extra low frequency. The whole key is extra low frequency, ELF waves. These are the things that are most detrimental, and these are the things that if you're wise, you've tried to protect yourself from having this happen to you again. it. Now, what I also have in getting into genetic modification, mm-hmm. we've been talking about modern technology and what it's doing.
Mm-hmm.
This is a picture, again, of a tribe over in Africa. Now, we understand that at one time in Lake Victoria, you had at one time Watusis. Watusis could grow sometimes to be 9 feet tall, 10 feet tall. On the other side, you had pygmies, these small creatures that, mm-hmm. again, look as they might get 2 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't it interesting, at one lake, Lake Victoria, on one side you have potential giants, on the other side you have potential giants. What do you have there? Mount Kilimanjaro. And the ancient legends there say that the gods came down from Mount Kilimanjaro and worked the people, that they created these things, that they dropped off things, and that whole lake itself was looked on as a very sacred lake.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just simply saying, people say, I've never seen a giant. Well, here we have untouched pictures of one 12-foot tall and one 14-foot tall giant. This man here is 6'6".
Mm-hmm.
This is taken again in parts of Africa. I'm not going to say where, but it shows you that there are giants. Now, mm-hmm. metaphysics, and I'm very much into metaphysics again, teaches that at one time that there were DNA modifications here. Unlike what we're doing again, mm-hmm. they did this a long time ago. And they had, therefore, they formed cells to grow extra long, and they crossbred them, and so you had then different species being grown. These intents are very dark black giants. You know, most of the times I see giants, when I see metaphysical books, they show you giants from Lyra. That's one of the constellations that they say the giants were brought here. That gets into a lot of controversy. But I'll say, without even going there, you have black giants right there in parts of Africa. We don't understand how much has already been done on this planet. And when you begin to then use devices that you don't understand, using radiation that they think is very easy, and it's real cool to put a Bluetooth in your ear,
mm-hmm.
but if that Bluetooth is going to cause trouble with the temporic membrane or the hypothalamus nerve, you got a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have something that you can put on that Bluetooth, if you have something that can block the radiation, you're halfway home. So this is why I say, we look for solutions, we look like problem savers, we want people to understand that if you understand what radiation can do, you will seek out ways to stop the radiation. When we're looking at this same kind of thing, talking about modern technology,
mm-hmm.
modern technology has also gone to the extremes by producing what they would now call holograms. Now, when you look at this, you're in the audience there, and you listen to Rose, and you know she brings weird people like me, we're going to show you weirder people that are doing weirder things potentially to your brain. That there is not a real picture, but it is one that is in the sky. You can see the houses beneath it there, so mm-hmm. you know it's not a joke. They are now using devices to take molecular structures of smoke and other organisms, form a picture out of them, and make you think you're seeing it. Now, think about what that potential can be. That means that you can make a picture in the heavens using clouds that is not there, but if people are very spiritual, if people are very religious, if people are very superstitious, you can make them think that something is happening that is from the heavens, that God is doing this. The God is a scientist sitting somewhere controlling towers and things to make you see that. Think about what that potential can be. You know what I'm saying to them?
Mm-hmm.
You get the message I'm trying to see. Everything you see may not be real.
Thank you.
And if you're going to worship or alter yourself because of what you see, you might be starting a war, you might be starting a battle, you might be fighting for nothing, but people, scientists, I don't call them mad because they're very smart and very diabolical, confusing you as to what may be done. Modern technology and technology in general can always be used for either good or for bad. If you have an awareness that this can be done, then you won't be so gullible. We won't be like the kids that they tell you to raise. Now, I'm saying this again because many children are called kids. Kids are to the goat god Baphomet. They are sacrifices. You don't have kids if you're human. You may have them if you're mankind. We can get into that another show. But if you're human, you have children. You treat them like kids because they treat them like baby goats and animals. They're not. But if you treat a child as a kid, raise a child as a kid, eat what kids eat, think what kids think, then you got no longer a child that you can control. You've got a kid.
Okay. Did you hear that? That was Dr. Delbert Blair. And all you have to do, Moses, go to YouTube and type in Delbert Blair. D-E-L-B-E-R-T-B-L-A-I-R, and his name will come up and his teachings will come up. He's a very, very powerful teacher, and we thought it was vital that we put this information here. We have come to the end of the first hour. We are going into the second hour, and the title of the broadcast is a Moorish Future, what has happened and what is to come. And we're going to deal with the UFOs. We got a brother here that has been abducted and has experienced the loss of time. We're going to bring that plug in as well, and so that you can listen to that. But one more time, keep in mind that everything that you're hearing here this evening and from previous broadcasts are going to be put into Tahaka's library. And the way to access that and have that available so you can be up on things so your children can get a true education is you contact me at area code 904-303-9061, and you will have access to this information. Okay? Now, before we go into further, the first thing we're going to deal with is a lot of us have heard something about Nibiru, and we want to understand what it is. What is Nibiru? What is that? Nibiru. And so what we're going to do is we're going to try to expose some information about that here. And we want you to pay close attention to what you're about to hear. So anytime you hear the word Nibiru or Nibiru, you will understand what is being talked about.
Back in the 1950s, most people aren't aware of it, but there was a scientific storm in America all through the late 50s about this thing out there in space, because the astronomers were all watching it, and that was back when they weren't afraid to talk about it. It was in the science magazines. I mean, I had a subscription to, like, Popular Science, and hell, it was on the front cover of the magazine one day in, like, 1961. And I was really excited when I saw it, because here's this giant red planet on the horizon of the California coast, and a humongous tidal wave coming in towards the coast, and having grew up in the mountains of the Sierras, and this thing in the magazine, it said this tidal wave coming in was going to be at least 3 miles high, and I went in and showed it to everybody in the house, and they laughed, and they said, look, it says right here, there's nothing to worry about, it won't be here for another 50 years. Hey, guess what? That 50 years has came and gone, and this baby's out there in the sky. They've been watching it. I watched it, and I can tell you, this thing has got so much trash coming around it. You know how we live in a solar system? We've got 9 planets and a big sun. This right. thing has got 7 planets and its own sun. But I believe that instead of having dirt on it like our planet does and water, I think this thing is just a big, bright reddish-orange iron ball, because it's giving off all this red iron oxide dust out into the atmosphere. When we thought at first it was just a teeny little red speck of fuzzy red dust in the distance, but over the years as it went by and we watched it, it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And then finally, about 08, we could see this thing like it was across the street. And we could see that it was a blazing hot ball of fire giving out sparkles of red iron oxide dust for thousands of miles in every direction. And you could see the planets circulating it. Now, I'll tell you one thing that I really am nervous about. I think this thing's got a planet like ours circling it. This is its own solar system. We're about to have a solar system come through the middle of our solar system. This can't be good. But unfortunately, it looks as though that's what's going to happen. Hopefully nothing in this mess will hit us, even though it does say it will in the Bible, leastwise it does in my Bible. It says we can expect all kinds of problems. We were looking at asteroids right close to this thing. There's asteroids that are floating around right near the, that are orbiting the main sun itself. These things appear to be about 500 miles across. And as you go back into the tail, you get into meteorites that go back for millions of miles in the tail. This thing looks like a giant red teardrop-shaped dust cloud. And you can see, once if you're able to see it up close like we did, you can see every speck out there. I guarantee you there's trillions of meteorites following this thing. Now, these CIA people that I know say that we're not going to be that close to it when it goes past us. They're saying that in order to attain breakaway speed, when it comes up around the backside of the sun, its speed will at least double, possibly more, which will put it here earlier than everybody is saying it will, and that this thing will probably be about 20 million miles from us when it crosses in front of us. And then as soon as it flips us upside down, we're going to go into its debris field tail and be pelted with meteorites. And, of course, in the Bible it says they will talon 70 pounds. So if you've got 70-pound meteorites falling like hail, and I can guarantee you they will be falling like hail because there are that many in the tail of this thing. This thing has got a tail loaded with trash. I mean, it's incredible the amount of stuff that's in this thing's tail. And we're going to go right through that tail, and if it doesn't beat everything on the surface of the ground into a flat putty, I don't know what it'll take. I tell everybody, you better be at least 20, 30, 40, 50 feet underground and have either concrete or stone above you, because it'll break through the roof or whatever you've got if you don't. These CIA guys told me that this pole shift will probably happen from start to finish in around 28 minutes. That doesn't give you a lot of warning. When you see that thing out there in the sky, you're going to have to run as fast as you can to your underground facility, because this is going to happen so fast. Now, see, here's another thing nobody's talking about. You've got this giant iron planet that they say is 47,000 miles across, getting ready to come up past us. And when it starts to approach us, it's going to start and have real serious effects.
So is it a planet or a failed star?
It's not a failed star. It you know, I saw this thing up close. It did not look like a failed star. It looked just like our sun.
Right.
Okay? Would you call our sun a failed star?
No. Okay, well, you had said planet. I wasn't sure if it was like a failed star, brown dwarf, or a full sun. So it's a full sun?
It looks to me like a miniature sun, just like the one we have. The only difference is, see, is our sun is giving off flames and stuff, and this one's doing the same thing as it, but it's giving off this red iron oxide cloud of dust around it, and until it got close, we couldn't even tell what was in there. We knew, we could see it was hot, and it looked like it was just a dull red when we were first able to discern it through the red cloud, but as it approached, it started to become more apparent that this thing is just orange hot. I mean, to tell how hot it is, I was told that it was, they estimated between 5 and 10 million degrees, but you know, I don't really know if that's right or not. I mean, it's got to be pretty hot, because it's sending all of this red iron oxide dust out into space around it,
right?
And it's got this enormous, and I mean enormous, at least 50 or 100,000 miles on each side of it, this red dust cloud that goes all the way around it. I know when we were watching it, as it started to make the upward swing to approach behind our sun, it was amazing. The red dust cloud settled down. Instead of being round, it started to settle down into a V, like wings, upside down wings.
Right.
And I thought, boy, I wonder if that's where the ancient Sumerians got the idea this thing had wings, because, you know, centrifugal force is a funny thing. When it comes back up around the planet, when we see it in the sky, my guess is it's going to look like it's got wings, because centrifugal force is going to be pulling the red iron oxide dust and particles out to one side, and then as it starts to climb out and go away from us. Listen, I was told that this thing's magnetic field is going to be so strong, anybody that does not have a padded lead helmet to wear will have their brain gutted for everything they ever knew, and they'll be a complete raving moron after this thing passes. They'll lose their, they won't know, they'll pee in their pants. They won't have a clue what's going on, because this thing will gut their brain. And it, and you know, I was reading a deal in my Bible. It says that after this happens, that nobody will care, because they won't be able to remember it. Well, of course, I was told by somebody the reason that that is because the electromagnetic field from this thing will be so strong, because, see, as it comes up underneath of us, it's going to start and pull us toward it. And then, just like a pair of big magnets, all of a sudden it's going to lock onto us. And when it does, it's going to be like the Jolly Green Giant kicked the earth in the ass. It's going to send a jolt 500 to 1,000 foot high, this is what I'm told, 500 to 1,000 foot high shock waves all the way around planet Earth. They'll be so bad that in a lot of areas that don't have good solid soil, it'll fluff it so badly that you'll practically be like you're standing in quicksand. And that this thing's magnetic field will literally gut your brain of everything. And so you may want to give some thoughts to getting you some sheet lead, build you a little lead helmet to wear, you know.
Okay. Now I had to stop that one. And because the brothers, the gentleman attempted to describe the coming of Wormwood, this is not new. It happens every 25,560 years when we go to the close of an age. We've already did the reincarnation thing. We are inhabiting a physical apparatus, which is subject to physical changes. So it's not something that we need to jump up and get to running and hooping and hollering about. Because we have been here, we have always been here, and we shall return again. At the close of the age, there's always upheaval. I like to recommend a book to you. It was written by a gentleman called Wayne Chandler, and the title of the book is Ancient Future, where he describes pretty much the same thing. This happens over and over again. It's always happened. But it just so happened that we are in the throes, moving toward the close of when it's going to happen again. The dinosaurs experienced it, and now we're moving into it. It's nothing to be overly concerned about. It's something that you cannot stop. It's going to happen. It happens at the close of an age in our particular solar system. We've already discovered that death is not the end of everything, so we can move on. And I'll go into something else and continue on doing what we do. And but keep in mind that it is on the way. It will occur. And it is nothing that you, I, the government, or no government on the planet can do to stop it. The best thing that we have to do and the most important thing that we can do is fulfill the purpose for being on the planet in the first place. You have been, you actually have agreed to come back into this life after many, many lives. You always come and go. So we are here now. You will continue to come and go. And so that's just the bottom line. Okay? So now we're going to go into another segment. And we're going to deal with this UFO thing. And we're going to start here. And but then I want to get to this brother. There was a brother that was abducted by UFOs and experienced a loss of time. We're going to get to him. But right now, I'm going to go into this first segment and we'll eventually get to the brother, okay? And we'll listen to him and tell his story and what is taking place.
Baffling. There's still no other word for it. A man encounters a UFO one-on-one. He goes missing for nearly 5 days before coming back. Now, more than 3 decades later, the case still astounds researchers and investigators. Join us as Paranormal TV lets the truth be told about the unexplained case of Travis Walton. Meet Travis Walton, a man who's about to take a unique and terrifying journey, a journey to the other side of his belief system. All of his notions of reality will be called into question. At first, it seemed like any other night as they headed home from work.
I don't know.
Maybe it's forest fire.
I don't see any smoke. Yeah, well, what the hell is it?
Get closer to it, Mike. Get closer to it.
Mm-hmm.
what we saw was not that far away. I mean, we could see this thing. It was clear. It was distinct. It wasn't just a point of light in the sky or anything like this. This was very close. You could have thrown a rock and hit it. I was scared, but like everyone there, but I got out and went towards it. That might have been a foolish thing, but I was thinking this thing might take off. You know, I just wanted to get a closer look. And I figured this thing would vanish.
Stop it! Get back in here!
After we'd put maybe a quarter of a mile distance between us and it, I suddenly realized what we had done. And I realized that our friend was back there, that I'd left him there. So I stopped the truck, and several of them didn't want that at all. And I says, well, we have to go back. He could be hurt, obviously is hurt, and we can help him. We went back to the site. The thing was gone. Travis was gone. So we thought maybe he wandered off somewhere. So we conducted a hand-in-hand search, you might say, six grown men walking around in the woods about as close to each other as they could get. We decided that without being able to find him, we would have to do something. What would we do? All we could think of was go to the authorities.
The sheriff arrived and listened to their story. He was cautious, but not completely disbelieving. He decided the only thing to do was to go back up the hill in the morning and look for Travis.
Three of the guys had no intention of going back up the hill. They wanted to stay right down there where they were. And so me and one other fella and several of the sheriff people went back up the hill and covered all the roads below and above, and we looked for tracks, we looked for sign, we listened. We couldn't find him at all. There was no trace of him at all, no tracks of any kind anywhere. It just seemed that they must have taken him, whoever they were. We had no idea at that point.
It's only maybe 100 feet or so away from us. I'm just sitting and filled this whole area in here. See how it's all burnt up and stuff? It was huge, you know, it was filled this whole thing up. And just the weirdest damn thing I've ever seen.
Somebody from somewhere other than this world had taken him, and he was just not there.
Mike Rogers and the sheriff went to inform Walton's mother that her son was missing.
Sorry. I left him. I didn't know what to do. I'm sorry.
All through that night and the next several days, it was incomprehensible. We could not understand what had happened. It just didn't sink in. Something had happened. Something odd had happened. We didn't know if it was terrible, whether it was great. We didn't know, but it's something that we couldn't understand that happened, and it was very traumatic, very traumatic, the most traumatic event that I've ever encountered.
The sheriff from Holbrook expected that the men had murdered Travis and buried his body in the woods, and that they were using the UFO story as an alibi.
Dallas, why don't you tell us about this conversation with Travis?
Joe, they was just talking about his sister. Well, they've been dating.
Did you have a problem with Travis or something?
Travis is my best friend. Why would I kill him?
I don't know. I understand he wanted to marry your sister.
Maybe you didn't like that idea. If you boys are all telling the truth, why not take a lie detector test?
It's fine with me.
Hell yeah, I'll do it.
Well, good. We'll get to the bottom of this yet.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we have three segments on that, and we will come back to that. But I want you to understand something that we did a while back. I did a segment with Cradle Mudawa and David Icke, where he had been abducted by aliens, and he was asked the question if he thought that the powers that the aliens exhibited was something that they manipulated out of him. And he agreed, yes. And it coincides with what is being told to us when people experience near-death experiences and stuff, and they talk about the light and their powers of perception and all this stuff here. And so, but it's not that we cannot regain these things. But I just want to bring that point out so that you will understand and try to give you as much as I can get you to understand what has transpired with our sojourn on this planet and in this particular dimension that we are in. Okay? So we're going to continue on to the next segment. If you just hold on a moment, we're going to get there, but let's get some understanding here.
With this is an international peace issue and an international security issue, and it should be taken up by the UN Security Council, and of course we are recommending that as well. Yes, sir.
So I think my question is to Clifford Stone. You said that you had seen aliens on a craft that had crashed. I wondered if you could describe what they looked like.
I could, but it would probably take a whole lot of time. The reason I state that, when I got out in 1989, we had cataloged 57 different species. You have individuals that look very much like you and myself that could walk among us and you wouldn't even notice the difference, except for some of the things that they might be able to go ahead, even in a dark room, and touch an object and go ahead and identify what color that object might be. They would have a heightened sense of smell, sight, hearing. Situation is that you have various types of what we normally call grays. We didn't call them grays in the military, but you had at least three types of the grays. You had some that were much taller than we were. The unique thing that I'd like to point out for the most part is that the entities that we did catalog were in fact humanoid. Now this created a situation where the scientific community was trying to figure out why that would be the case, because you would expect that if life evolved on other planets, that they would take on some type of other being, so to speak, not necessarily look humanoid or be bipedal such as we are. But apparently we got quite a few of the species out there that are humanoid in appearance. And that creates a question that yet has to be answered by science.
Yes, and I'm...
66% of United States residents' public water is fluoridated. It is known to have tremendous effects on bone cancer, joint problems, bone weakness, lowered estrogen and testosterone levels, and dental fluorosis, which is yellowing of the teeth and pitting in the enamel. Wouldn't it make more sense to enhance public water with vitamins, which are meant to be ingested, to promote overall health, rather than putting such a toxic chemical in our water with a bogus explanation that it will improve our dental health? We now know that fluoride causes more dental problems than it solves. Something doesn't seem right about this. Do you honestly believe that these companies care deeply enough for the people to spend large amounts of their own money to fluoridate public water when the people already purchased their own toothpaste? But there's a difference between toothpaste and drinking water. We don't ingest toothpaste. If you go to any hardware store and look at any rat poison product, you will only find one ingredient, sodium fluoride. It is the most toxic ionic molecule outside of potassium dichromate. Now Danone, along with other companies, have begun fluoridating bottled water. It is becoming increasingly difficult to get away from. And the fact that fluoride is also used in many prescription antidepressants shows that it eliminates aggression and motivation in people.
Fluoride, to my knowledge as a physician, has absolutely no biological benefit whatsoever.
But one of the significant things is that the Russians carried out all sorts of experiments on people living in the Gulag. One of them, of course, was to fluoridate the water. Why? You fluoridate the water, why people are not as aggressive as they ordinarily would be. In fact, what is the active ingredient in Prozac that is so widely distributed in America today? Why, it's a fluoride compound.
And now we are finding that public water nationwide is showing up with arsenic, lead, cadmium, and thermonium, which is a radioactive form of lead. Cancer, lowered sex drive, birth defects, sedation, and brain defects? Does this not sound like a wonder drug for anyone aiming to control a population?
It's quite astonishing, Paul, the degree to which environmentalists have not been educated about fluoride. You know, people have an unconscious trust in their doctor or their dentist. And if you can persuade doctors and dentists that fluoride is safe and good, then you're able to reach the rest of the nation. People believe their doctors and dentists, and that was a way of promoting fluoride for Bernays. Fluoride was killing their cattle, destroying their crops. Fluoride given to rats had produced bone cancer and liver cancer, and that those results had been doctored to make it look as though fluoride hadn't caused as much cancer.
The pattern that we saw, it typically is what we see with other neurotoxic agents that are well known to cause a hypoactivity or a memory problem or an IQ problem. When I first presented the results of these studies, one of the individuals sitting and listening to the results, he says, "Do you have any idea what you're saying?" And he says, "You're telling us that we're reducing the IQ of children." And basically I said, "Yes."
Aspartame is made up of three things: methanol, which of course is what produces blindness, aspartic acid, and phenylalanine. These are all poisons. Aspartic acid, of course, produces brain lesions. This was known back in the early 1970s. Methanol produces blindness. Phenylalanine is what you see certain in the brain, and in high doses it produces trauma.
We're not making this all up. The FDA did publish back in, I think it was in the 80s, they did publish the 92 potential side effects of aspartame. And they do, you know, these side effects are quite are extremely serious. Things like dizziness, problems with balance, abdominal pain and cramps, changes in vision, seizures and convulsions, etc., etc.
Yet despite all of these harmful effects, Donald Rumsfeld pushed it out into the stores in over 5,000 products when he was CEO of Searly, the company that manufactured aspartame.
Okay. The sustainable goal is the elimination of the middle class. The world cannot support 6 billion people. But you see, the plan behind sustainable development includes population control. It's a program for land use control, education control, and population control. The leaders of the sustainable movement say that the world's human population should not exceed 500 million people. That's a 93% reduction of today's population levels. In 1992, while the Rio conference was going on, George Bush, then president, was there. He was just offshore in Prince Charles's yacht, where he executed the Agenda 21 protocols on behalf of the United States and brought it back to Washington, D.C. Within a year, Bill Clinton, by executive order, established the President's Council for Sustainable Development.
In 1996, Bill Clinton set up the President's Council on Sustainable Development. One of the dictates of Agenda 21 is that every country in the world is to set up a national council to oversee the implementation of Agenda 21. I've listened to Gorbachev explain, we are writing a new set of 10 or 15 commandments to replace the original 10. Which one of the 10 do you think these guys don't like? Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet. Because I'll tell you what, these people have lied to us. They're in the process of stealing all of this nation's natural resources, and they covet everything you have left.
To explain the map, the red are areas that are to be off limits to human beings. If you live there, you won't. The yellow areas are the areas for major control of all human activity. If you live there, you won't. Black dots are the smart growth zones. That's where human beings are to be stacked and packed in small living units along rail tracks. Smart growth program ultimately has jobs assigned and children cared for by the
Okay. We come to the close of that plug, ladies and gentlemen. I have to apologize for the technical difficulties that I'm having in delivering this particular information to you. But we are not done yet, and we are going to continue to bring you the title of this broadcast because it's very, very important that we understand that this does exist, and we want to make sure that you hear what needs to be explained to you in regards to this stuff here involving our aliens and the things that's happening right there in your own community, right there in your own yard. We're trying to give you as much as we can. So we're going to attempt to go back and finish where we left off at the first segment. Okay? And I'll need you to pay attention to what is about to be told you and to be stuck at the sink.
People from around the globe tell horrifying stories of alien abduction. But some wonder if it was all a dream. As this Paranormal TV Truth Be Told story of alien abduction continues, find out if these stories are possibly truth or nothing but fantasy. Those who claim to have been abducted seem to exhibit a form of post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD. Like combat veterans, the abductees can develop stress reactions that do not go away. Nightmares, flashbacks, difficulty sleeping, a general sense of detachment or estrangement. Many abductees seek psychological treatment, often in the form of hypnotherapy or regression therapy, techniques that help them relive or remember their abduction experience.
No, they'll leave me. I'll bring you back. It's so scary.
In 2003, at Harvard Medical School in the United States, a study sought to measure the physiological responses, like heart rate and perspiration level, of various trauma victims, including those who claim to have been abducted by aliens. A taped account of the traumatic experience was played for the victims, and they were asked to imagine that they were experiencing the event again. Although the Harvard team did not necessarily believe that the abductions had ever occurred, they were surprised by the results.
The individuals who believe they've been abducted by aliens, when they recalled their events in the psychophysiology lab, they were just as reactive as the PTSD subjects that we've studied. My impression in working with these individuals is that the abductees really believe what they're telling us. They really believe that these events happened, and their emotional response is supporting that belief.
Tales of alien abductions come from all corners of the globe. Ufologists, those who study UFO phenomena, the sheer number of abduction reports, the quality of the reports, and the similarities in the reports are proof enough that they are here. While the number of people who may have been abducted by aliens seems significant, the vast majority of us will never have that experience. Why? Are abductees chosen at random? Or are they deliberately targeted? Is there a certain type of person who is more likely to be abducted?
They're not wacky people, usually, who want to go on TV and say, oh, I saw this, and it was really weird, and all that. Usually these people are very, very quiet and very shy about their events, and in fact, don't even understand what even happened.
Regardless of who the alleged abductees are, the more telling question is, why are they being abducted? What do these alien beings want from us? Most abductees believe they are being taken as part of a breeding experiment, an attempt to create a hybrid, a brand new species made from the best qualities of both the humans and their alien captors.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we'll come to the close of that. I would like to relate a story that happened. During the time that my babies were born, their mother and I had a conversation. She said she wanted to tell me something that she had never told anyone in her life. And she made me promise that I wouldn't think she was crazy. And I promised not to think that. And I listened to what she had to say. She said one night, she was in the bed when she was in junior high school, and she was laying in the bed. She was in her father's house, and all of a sudden, she was awakened by these little men, these little gray men, and said she couldn't move, she couldn't speak, she couldn't do anything, and they began to take our hands and fingernails and scrape, make scrapings out from under her fingernails and toenails and stuff. And she was just sitting there while this took place. And she said she didn't know if this was a dream, if it was real or what, but she know it was an experience that she had and she never forgot it as long as she lived. And she told it to me. And I told her that, I have heard some things, but, you know, just if you can put it out your mind, go ahead and put it out your mind if you can. She said, I can't. She said, I'll never be able to put this out of my mind. She said, these creatures, they appeared and say after they were done, they went through the wall, and I was able to be normal. I wasn't in any pain or anything, but I never forgot what happened. I said, okay. And but this type of thing has occurred all around the world. And so if it has happened to you, don't think that you are crazy, because these little creatures, they do exist. They are called the Greys, and their story and why they are doing what they are doing is available. And actually, if you know how to separate fact from fiction, it's on the Internet. It is there. So don't you think it is something that is hidden or some type of secret or is non-existent. Okay, now we're going to go on to a very, very, very important part of the broadcast, and I need you to pay attention.
Dr. Lebeau, how are you?
I'm fine. Thank you, Governor.
Governor Jesse Ventura, thanks for coming. Now, you've left the United States of America.
Yes, sir, I have.
Why?
I do not feel safe living in the United
really?
States.
Really? Do you want to come in and sit down?
No, sir. I'd rather not.
You'd rather just be here so you can make a fast exit if you have
as
to.
As soon as you and I finish,
you're out of
I'm
here.
Leaving the country again. Why? Because in a very short time, not today, not tomorrow, but very soon, we'll be facing compulsory vaccination under the mistaken term of voluntary vaccination.
Are you talking to me now about the current swine flu?
Is that I
what
am.
You're talking about? Now, what is it about these vaccinations? You think that they're bad?
Well, first of all, let's start with the fact that the World Health Organization has decided that we have 90% too many people. The World Health Organization has been working since 1974 on vaccines to create permanent sterility.
Doctor, the response is going to be, you're crazy. How can you say this stuff?
I show them the documentation.
Now, this is pretty shocking.
This process has already been ongoing. To make matters worse, we know that the vaccines that were illegally approved by the FDA contain a substance called squalene.
Squalene, an organic compound used in vaccines to stimulate the immune system and increase the response.
If I inject you with squalene, your immune system will attack the squalene, but then it starts attacking all of the parts of your body. What does that look like when you meet a person to whom that is happening? It looks like Gulf War syndrome. It looks like every joint in the body swollen and intolerably painful and immobilized.
This is in these shots they're going to give us?
It's in some of them, but the U.S. government has a trick up their sleeve.
Which is?
Still ahead, the conspiracy shocker. A group that's even more powerful than the Bilderbergs.
What that means is a holocaust, a genocidal holocaust.
Jesse Ventura's investigation into the secret society that runs the world has led to this, a meeting at a remote airstrip with Dr. Rima Lebeau. The physician fled the United States in fear of the Bilderbergs' plan to use vaccines to kill off much of the world's population.
they will induce a pandemic using the nasal mist vaccine, which is a live attenuated virus. That means that if I take it, I can infect you. You're going to get the flu. Everybody around us is going to get the flu. Then the United States government, based on their statements that they've already made, will say, oh my, we have a pandemic. Oh my goodness, we don't have enough doses. So we'll admix squalene at the 90,000 injection stations that the Department of Health and Human Services announced that they will ship the vaccines to.
People lining up, sometimes by the hundreds, for an H1N1 flu shot.
What that means is a holocaust, a genocidal holocaust. Men and women will sicken and die, and those who survive will be infertile.
If people start dying massively from these inoculations, won't there be like a revolution, a rebellion, a rising up from the peasants?
Briefly, until the 420,000 U.S. military swing into action. If you remember, NORTHCOM, the Northern Command, was created not long ago to, among other things, relocate the population in the event of civil disorder or pandemic.
Doctor, what you're saying is that if people refuse these vaccinations, that FEMA's going to put them into almost like concentration camps around the country?
I think you have to leave out the word almost.
Doctor, how can you say this stuff?
Let me tell you a story. In 2003, I had a patient in my drug-free medical practice who was a head of state. And one day, she said, you know, it's almost time for the great culling to begin.
The what?
That's what I said. The what? She said the great culling, C-U-L-L-I-N-G, when you thin the herd. I said, what are you talking about? She said, it's almost time for the useless eaters to be culled. And she said, those are the people who are consuming our non-renewable natural resources. I said, who are the people who make
the
this decision?
Few.
She said, we, the aristocrats.
This person you talk to, you're bound because you're a physician and there's the relationship that you can't talk. Is this person a member of the Bilderbergs?
She is not Queen Beatrice. She is not the Queen of England. She is not Henry Kissinger. But she certainly presented herself as a member of that power elite, and she certainly was a head of state. Now, the Bilderbergers are much talked about at this point. I said, who's behind this? And she said, well, you've heard of the Bilderbergers, of course. I said, are they the people at the top? She said, no.
The investigation is about to move into uncharted territory.
Doctor, we're talking about some wild stuff here, extinguishing 90% of the world's population. Now, what you're saying to me is the Bilderbergs are not the top echelon, that there's somebody above them?
According to what I was told by this woman, there's a council of seven men, and they make long-term decisions about what they want to see happen, which country rises, which country falls, which economies prosper. And it's really important to understand that these people have no affiliation to a religion, no affiliation to a nation, no affiliation to a political party. They are acting according to their own rules, and their rules are not the ones that the institutions we believe in adhere to.
And you're saying these people mean genocide?
The swine flu is one catalyst. Remember, if you're a genocidalist, you have to work really hard to kill 6 billion people. As a military person, somebody trained as a SEAL, you know that the SEALs might be able to carry out the job, but you also had backup and collateral strength.
How powerful are the Bilderbergs or the people above them in the world?
not as powerful as we, the people, in the aggregate are. When we raise our voices, every single time they step back. The problem is, the dirty little secret is that we have that power. They don't want us to know that we have that power.
Her warning delivered. Dr. Lebo heads back to her hideaway in the mountains of Panama. Her message is clear. It's up to everyone else to decide what to do with her information.
People have been talking for years about secret groups that pull the strings and rule the world. And for a long time, it was rumors and crazy talk of men having secret meetings. But we found out that the Bilderberg Group is the real deal. We can put faces to the rumors, and we can put names to the faces. These high and mighty members of the elite don't hide the fact that they're meeting all the time, right in our own backyards. They only hide what goes on inside their meetings. Do the members control nations, economies, food supplies, even medicine? Most definitely. Are they out to thin out the population, kill me, and maybe you? As long as they're behind closed doors, they've got deniability. Now, we'll be watching them. Stay healthy. I'm Jesse Ventura, and this is Conspiracy Theory.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I thought I'd bring that in there because we've been hearing this over and over and over again, and I've been studying it for the past 4 years, and the voices are coming from all over the world. We have a caller in. I'm going to open up the line, and but we're going to end this broadcast this evening without any music because we have too much information to get on. Area code 404, can you tell us who you are, where you're calling from, and what's your question or comment?
Peace and love. This is Brother Keith Griffith Bay from Atlanta, Georgia. I do apologize. I hit the wrong button. I was just trying to tune in. I just got back in the house, and I'm late, man. I just want to get what all I can get, brother. Peace.
Well, that's all right. You can always go back and listen to the broadcast, brother. I'm going to go ahead and mute you out, and I'm going to let the last segment run us on into the ground without any music at the end of the broadcast because there was no way possible for me to bring everything that I had lined up. Okay? I thank you for calling.
Hey, people. You know we've been lied to, right? Well, I made a list. I call it my top 20. The following information is based on facts and requires immediate attention. And these are things that you should do a search for. This is my list of top 20 lies. Number one, search for the true legal definition of the words person, citizen, corporation, and statute. Also, summons and the word must. They mean completely different things than what you thought they did in our world of law. You can search for the term straw man illusion, legal fiction, your legal fiction, and maritime admiralty law. That's maritime admiralty law. Do a search here on YouTube. You'll find a world of information on that. Number two, fluoride, also known as rat poisoning. Go to a hardware store, look on the back of one of them rat poisoning containers. The main ingredient is sodium fluoride. It's also the main ingredient in a very well-known antidepressant known as Prozac. And it was first introduced and given to the Jews during the World War II. And it was put in their water. And it made them very complacent, docile, and just easier to control. Number three, HAARP. Search the word HAARP, H-A-A-R-P, HAARP. High Frequency Active Auroral Research Project. What they do with this is they modify weather and among other things. Number four, chemtrails. Chemtrails contain barium oxide and aluminum oxide. Both are extremely toxic to the human body. Chemtrails are not contrails. They're not condensation trails left by planes. Normal contrails will dissipate within 15 to 30 seconds after, you know, the plane has left that area. This, you don't see it anymore. It should be gone. Well, chemtrails, they stay behind. These are chemical trails that these planes are spraying and leaving behind. And they stay in the sky for hours, sometimes a whole day. They contain poisons. Look it up. They were first noticed in 1997. Number five, the 13 rolling families, also called the 13 ancient bloodlines, that have always ruled this world, and they still do. I believe one of the top ones on that list is the Rothschild family. The Rothschilds, they own like 80% of the world's wealth. This one family is so rich that they can feed, clothe, and shelter every man, woman, and child on the planet, this one family. Look it up. Number six, the three city-states of the world that control the world. The first one would be Washington, D.C. in the United States. And Washington, D.C. is where the military control is. The second is London, England in the U.K. And London, England is where the monetary control is, the money system. And the third one is the Vatican City in Rome. And the Vatican City is where spiritual control is. These are the three ways that they control the whole world, through the military, money, and religious and spiritual establishments. These three city-states have their own flags, and they're outside of the jurisdiction of the law, the rest of the country. Look it up. Number seven, the Georgia Guidestones. Do a search for that. Google it. Do a search here on YouTube for it. You'll find out a world of information. Number eight, do a search for GMO, which means genetically modified organisms. Search Monsanto and Codex Alimentarius. Do a search. Number nine, AIDS and HIV and the conspiracies, suppressed cures. In fact, there's a U.S. patent number, 567-6977. That's 567-6977. And supposedly, it cures all blood-borne pathogens, such as AIDS. Search it. Number 10, do a search for cancer myths, facts, and cures. There have been several cancer cures. The mainstream media will not talk about this stuff. You're not going to hear it on the news or read it in the paper. There's a good documentary. It's called Run from the Cure. Run from the Cure. And it's about hemp oil and how it's cured people's cancer. As well as The Beautiful Truth is another very good documentary about natural cures to cancer, among other things. Number 11, mercury, otherwise known as thimerosal when it's in vaccinations. It's poisonous, and it's also found in fluorescent lights. The fluorescent lights and the light bulbs, the little spiral light bulbs they're telling everybody to buy for global warming, right? Those spiral light bulbs that last for 5 years, well, those have mercury vapor inside of them. They're coated with mercury. And so are all fluorescent lights. You know, like the ones in department stores and stuff? They have mercury in them, okay? And mercury is very poisonous to the human body. It's also in dental fillings. When you go and have dental work, you know, it's dentists know this. They know it. And any doctors that speak out about fluoride or mercury are always going to be persecuted, and they're going to be shut up somehow. So do a search for that. Number 12, the H1N1 hoax, of course. I'm sure many of you know it was made in a lab, and it also contains mercury, thimerosal, to be exact. And thimerosal is just a derivative of mercury. So H1N1 is a hoax. Number 13, the IRS, CIA, FBI, FCC, and NASA are and were never part of the United States government. They're not U.S. agencies, despite what you believe or what you've been told. Look it up. Number 14, global warming is not man-made. Duh. I'm sure a lot of you know that already. The main purpose of this scandal is to force a carbon tax onto the public. In fact, all planets in our entire solar system are experiencing this very same effect. They're experiencing major climate change. Number 15, fossil fuel scandal. This deserves some research. Number 16, 9/11 clues and hints in Hollywood films and productions years before it actually occurred. They show you 9/11 hints in Hollywood movies, shows, even on TV, such as The Simpsons. There's proof of this in many major films. Just Google it. Do a search here on YouTube. I'm sure you'll get, you know, all kinds of results. Number 17, the controlled media and music industry. TV subliminals, mind programming. Google Project Paperclip, MK Ultra, and Project Monarch. Number 18, the significant links between assassinated presidents Abe Lincoln and JFK. Also many other links between certain celebrities surrounding their deaths, such as John Lennon, Marilyn Monroe, Heath Ledger, Martin Luther King Jr., and the late Michael Jackson. Scandal surrounding their deaths. Look it up. Number 19, Osama bin Laden is actually Ted Osman. He was trained by the CIA in the 1970s, and the term or name Al-Qaeda actually translates to the database in English. It means the database. Google it. Do a YouTube search. And last, but certainly not least, number 20, hidden symbolism of corporate media that's all around you, plus hidden codes on the U.S. dollar bills, 13 being a very important number to these people. So, until next time.
Good night, ladies and gentlemen.